This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Hank Gernandez! In the left field! Hit number 3,000! A run is scored!
Smith corks one into right down the line! It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Cardinals there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Bow Ties and Bullshit, brought to you by your friends at Two Birds on a Bat. I want to thank everybody for joining us, as they have been the last few weeks. I know you guys are enjoying the different look at baseball through the eyes of the gentleman that we have brought to you to discuss this in a different fashion. I know I'm enjoying it as a guy that admittedly struggles a little bit with finding the analytical place in the game of baseball. I have my own opinions of it, right, wrong, or indifferent, but I am enjoying getting a little more knowledgeable about them and how they play into many of the things that we're all learning about here as we try to apply them to what we do with opinions. I mean, having an opinion is one thing; trying to have an educated opinion is another. So, it's hard to sit here and say anybody's right or wrong about anything because nothing's guaranteed. So as we're in this off season, it's funny how passionate people get, including myself, about players or about what somebody should or shouldn't do. And it becomes almost personal. And when a guy says, I don't want this guy or I want this guy, and then you know, you start using numbers to back up why you feel the way you do, or you don't want to use numbers and you want to use eye tests. Then, like I said, that's when you start having arguments because, you know, I'm human, normal to some degree. You know, I've said things I wish I could take back and done things that I wish I wouldn't have done. But, you know, at this juncture with all this, it's crazy how we've gotten to a point of need with different options available. And, you know, in the end, we're just trying to talk about what those options are, who they could be. For me, I look at it two ways, and that's why I'm enjoying this show. I look at it as who do I think would help, and then I like trying to guess what I think the Cardinals will do. But see, what's interesting is somewhere in the middle of all of this is a person that has to make a decision on what they want to do. You know, obviously here in St. Louis, we think it's blasphemy if they don't want to come play for the Cardinals. I kind of told somebody the other day, I said, well, you know, if a guy was working for a big company and they said, you know, we're going to transfer you, you're getting promoted and we're going to transfer you. And the guy said, really? That's great. And he said, yeah, you know, we have two offices that need a new manager for this division. You can go to St. Louis, or you can go to LA, or you can go to, you know, Chicago, or you could go to New York. The thing that's interesting is it's real easy to say, well, naturally everybody would choose LA or New York or Chicago. Well, that's not necessarily true. Some people would be like, you know, I don't like that type of atmosphere. Maybe I'd do better in a place like, so that's possible. It's nice to speculate about guys that, you know, I hear people say, well, you know, Manny Machado or Bryce Harper, I heard, you know, they're not into the big city glitz and glamour. And it's like, well, I mean, who told you that? And Who's coming up with that now? I like all that. I find it interesting, and you know, I want to hear a player come out and say this is what I want. Because here's the deal: they're going to tell us real quick here what they want. They're going to show their hand real quick here what's most important to them, right? Saw an interesting thing yesterday. We're going to talk about today about the perception of what certain clubs are willing to do to reach their ultimate goal. And what is their ultimate goal? You'd like to believe it's to win a World Series. Sometimes it doesn't come across that way. Sometimes it comes across and is taken out of text and what we're going to do. So I'm interested to get the show rolling. I've got, like I said, I've got our panel of experts that is ready to give you their thoughts on where the Cardinals go from here with bullpen help. Today is bullpen day. It's funny how we sit here and we talk about all these offensive players. We talk about number three hitters. We talk about left-handed bats. We talk about power. We talk about this. We talk about that. But, you know, you really, the last couple of seasons, while, you know, I wouldn't say the offense was anemic, I also wouldn't say it was dynamic. But I would have to say that I don't know that the offense has been the problem. Now, at times it looks rough, but I think if you watched, you know, the average Cardinal fan probably watches how many games? Think about that. And if you watched any other team that many games, it has nights where the offense is anemic. So, you know, I would assume, based on where the Cardinals have finished offensively, which, you know, that if you were to look at what do we really need if we were going to pick and choose, I don't know how you don't look at this whole thing and go, we need to just dedicate ourselves to revamping the bullpen. So, you know, Benji has done a great job of reminding us all the time that bullpen, bullpen, bullpen. So, you know, we've talked about the big dogs. You know, we've talked about Harper. We've talked about Machado. We've given you Plan B and Josh Donaldson. We obviously are going to talk about the other players as well, which I'm not going to call. I'm going to call them, you know, maybe the less attractive options. Although, what's interesting is sometimes those are the ones that work out the best. You know, I'll have to see it to believe it because there's no telling really. You know how things are going to work out. There are no guarantees. All you can make are educated guesses. And for people out there that, like, I saw somebody put that, you know, Michael Brantley is a better option for the Cardinals than Bryce Harper. And I'm like, how can you say that? I mean, that's just not even now here's what's funny. I'm going to say that, but then I'm going to say, you know what? Michael Brantley could have a better, I mean, things could work out better. There could be, but I mean, don't the odds tell you based on what you've seen that Bryce Harper is probably going to be better than Michael Brantley? I mean, like I said, it could happen, but if you're going to bet, you know, if you gamble, don't you try to make a good bet? You know, not, I mean, I don't know. I guess some people do. I guess some people look at it and go, this is what I really feel. I don't care what the past is. This is what I feel, and I'm going to bet. And I also think that's how the guys that own all the casinos and all the mob guys get rich. So, that being said, I guess we shall see what the boys have for us. I'm going to try to take some educated thoughts based on what I've seen. I'm going to let some of the numbers play out, and we'll see what we have for you guys. Because, again, this is Bow Ties and Bullshit brought to you by your friends at Two Birds on a Bat. For this week, let's welcome in everybody's favorite, fresh off his last, I believe. Now, again, I'll let him say for himself, but I'm new to all this, and it looks like maybe he was finishing up his season of his great show, Prospects After Dark. But as he finishes one and jumps into another, let's welcome in everybody's favorite, Kyle Reese. So what's happening, Kyle?
Not a whole lot, Jim. How are you?
Good. Well, I want to make sure I didn't misspeak. I was just letting our listeners know that I believe you're coming fresh off. Was it your last episode of Prospects After Dark for this season?
Yeah. I'm not exactly sure what a season of Prospects After Dark is, but we've decided to call that the end of season one. No, we were celebrating kind of the one-year anniversary of Cardinals Gifts asking me to be a part of Birds on the Black, and which is a big thing because without that, I never would have Periscoped. I would not be as involved in the Twitter community as I am now.
Well, you do a great job. Everybody loves it. I got to tell you, I love the format. I love the rapid fire, the way you go off the rails. It's great. And if people haven't watched it, I would encourage you to do so. You tackle just about everything. You're not short on opinions, and I love it because, I mean, let's face it, everybody's got an opinion. You might as well, if you're not afraid to stick it out there and share it, then what the heck, right? And I know you're not scared to do that.
No, I am a walking disaster, and I'm happy to share my disaster with everyone.
Well, I'll tell you what. So as I look at this thing, I was just telling the listeners that it is interesting how personal the off season can get for people. People, they take their opinions on who the Cardinals should sign pretty seriously, and it's real easy to jump down somebody else's throat when they don't agree with you. I look at this whole thing as looking at who, like, I don't know what I find more fun, like trying to decide who I think could help the Cardinals. And then I also, there's a piece of me that likes to try to figure out what they're going to do. And I think, I've been using the term lately, to Cardinal, because I've said there's a few guys out here that I think allow the Cardinals to Cardinal. Josh Donaldson, in my opinion, allows them to Cardinal. They don't have to write the huge check. They don't have to sign the long contract. That's Cardinal. And I think the bullpen offers a few guys that they could really Cardinal. Now, we shall see. I have no idea. It's funny because I was telling somebody the other day that, if you look at last year, and I don't know about you, if you've had a chance to take a look at it, but we talked at length last year about a lot of the free agent relievers that were out there, and you looked at it and you thought, man, there's a lot of guys out there that could help. And again, I don't know where you were at last year with this, but we sat here and just kept watching them come off the board, and the Cardinals didn't sign any of them. And we're sitting here going, what is going on? What is going on? What is going on? Well, it turns out none of those guys had a good year. It's like, what is going on? So now you look at this and you go, are the Cardinals sitting there going, see, we're not the dumbest people in the room. This is not a great place to spend money. You're better off trying to hit lightning in a bottle. So I don't know what the plan is, but I do think there's a few guys on here that the Cardinals could Cardinal. So have you had a chance to take a look at some of the free agent relievers, and do any of them attract your interest?
To give you an idea of where I was at last offseason, at the start of the offseason, I kept saying, and it was a hashtag at some point I was running, it was four relief pitchers. Cardinals need four relief pitchers. And they got four, and it was kind of an unusual group of four, and I was specific about them needing the right-handers at the time. I was happy with Leon. I thought Gregerson would have been a good addition as the last of the four. I thought Norris was fine, but I thought that they needed something more. And then when they finally signed Greg Holland, I thought that they made a good move there. I'll stand by that the principal idea of signing Greg Holland was the right move to make. It was a smart move to make. It just did not pay off. More than likely, it has something to do with the fact that he didn't really have spring training and that he never caught up, but that's hearsay now at this point, so it doesn't matter. I was very much for them re-signing Juan Nicasio, because Nicasio, he cost you a prospect. And to bring him in September, when he wouldn't have been postseason eligible, it just seemed like one of those moves where, hey, this guy's extremely talented. Why don't we re-sign him? So between Nicasio and Addison Reed, I thought those two guys would be really interesting pickups. Now, both of them, if you look at their stats, especially Nicasio's ERA, it was terrible. But all of the other stats like line up with a player that you would feel comfortable paying the amount that both Nicasio and Reed got over their small contracts. For me, it's simple. This coming free agency, I'm very much against them signing anyone in the relief corps. I believe that the Cardinals have internal options that can solve nearly every problem that they have, and they have a substantial amount of high upper minor leaguers that can fill these roles. Now, I'm also a person who believes strongly in keeping minor leaguers as starting pitchers until the very last minute. But the thing is, with a lot of these guys, the very last minute has already passed, as they've already entered the Cardinals' bullpen. And the Cardinals were successful down the stretch to a degree with these players there. The big question becomes, can some combination of Alex Reyes and Jordan Hicks secure the ninth inning? And I personally believe so. I think with a little bit of seasoning now, Jordan Hicks he's going to break out. I mean, he broke out last year, but I think that he's going to take that next step. And with Alex Reyes, who I believe personally is suited extremely well now with the recurring injuries and the tough surgery that he had, he's better suited for the bullpen. So when I look at the roster, you know, that Hicks, Brebbia, and Leon are surefire back of the end bullpen pieces. And then it becomes really interesting because then you have between Mayers, who I'm not really a big fan of. I would like for him to maybe be an odd man out. And this is what makes it really interesting is that Mayers can actually be the odd man out. But between Ponce de Leon, Dakota Hudson, Luke Weaver, who I'm very intrigued at the option of being a reliever all season, Luke Weaver and Giovanni Gallegos, I believe that the Cardinals have enough arms that they could be fine from the relief corps without having to add to it if they don't need to. You know, the Luke Weaver is really interesting to me. I said it in our group chat last night, but how much of Luke Weaver just in his career path now reminds you of Joe Kelly? And there are a lot of people who are saying sign Joe Kelly, and more than likely Joe Kelly is going to get something of 4 years, $15 million, something like that. Well, at this point, don't the Cardinals owe it to themselves if they're not going to trade Luke Weaver to try to maximize his value? And I know that he struggled out of the bullpen last year. It was a weird season for that poor young man who is immensely talented and his fastball command was off, and that was the difference. I think that the Cardinals have plenty of options that they don't necessarily need to go out and spend money on a relief corps when the relief corps and relief free agent market is the most volatile of all the markets.
Well, there's the mouthful right there. Where do you do? It is volatile. I look at the whole thing and try to figure out, so what do we need, right? So now, basically, if you look at what you said, I will say this, based on listening to your speak, there's a lot of right-handed options there. See, and that's the thing. And I think the way bullpens are trending, especially with the whole quote-unquote Memphis shuttle thing, right? You're looking at right-handed options that could roll. Now, I'm not, for the sake of this discussion, I'm not 1,000% sure where we're at on options with these guys. If some of these guys still have another year where they can go up and down, and I would assume they do. I could be wrong.
So real fast on that, you're looking at, I believe Giovanni Gallegos has one more year. I believe Mike Myers is at the end. He's used all three, and John Brebbia, of course, exhausted his this past year as well, I believe.
Brebbia needs to be a solid piece. Brebbia shouldn't be that guy. I mean, don't you agree? I think Brebbia has pitched well enough in spots that you have to go into this thing next year looking at him as a, you know, maybe not the highest leverage, but he's a high leverage guy.
Yeah, John Brebbia has to be, under most circumstances, the first guy off. You know, in a tough situation, he has to be the guy. He's earned it. He's good enough, and his stuff is good enough. And that beard is for real. And I don't think we're taking into account just how wonderful that beard is.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
That's an important part of being a closer, a high leverage reliever.
All right. I hear you. So that being said, then you see where I'm going to go, and I'm still going to tell you that I want one right-hander. I want a guy, and. So I'll come back to that in a second, because basically what you've told me is that, in your opinion, you think we're covered on the right side, but you can't deny the fact that we do not have a left-hander down there. We don't have one.
Yeah, that is definitely the one. That's where it gets really interesting. I know that the two main options are Zach Britton and Andrew Miller, and personally for me, I would stay 1,500 feet away from Andrew Miller. All of his career statistics are trending in the wrong direction. He kind of used and abused over the last couple of years as well,
sure.
along with reoccurring injuries. And that's just like a trifecta of fear for me, especially if you're going to talk about investing into a relief pitcher. So the other option there would be Zach Britton. And Britton is interesting to me. Britton was not as good this year coming off of the Achilles injury as he had been in prior years. He was still very effective. But his velocity was down.
Yes.
His velocity was down big time, like almost a mile an hour everywhere across the board. And following what happened with Adam Wainwright and a lot of players who have had Achilles surgery, man, I am so apprehensive about testing those waters. For me, you look outside the organization for a left-handed reliever via trade. And, you know, there are a couple of really interesting guys. I'll let I know that Mo's algorithm is going to talk about him, a couple guys just from our conversations. And a big hat tip to Graham on Twitter, who has also been rallying for some of the Giants' left-handed relief pitchers. But like, there's a couple guys out there that are really interesting that I just think if you're going to go in that direction, maybe you trade some of this right-handed pitching depth to address the left-handed pitching depth.
Well, I see, and that's like, I think you're going to have a hard time not trying to sign one right-handed guy, only because I could see that exact scenario. I know where Mo's is going to go today, and I will say this, trading is tougher, and what irritates me about the trading thing is I know one of the guys he's probably going to bring up today is Tony Watson.
Yeah.
I love Tony Watson. Now, I'm assuming maybe they wouldn't deal with us last year because they wouldn't deal within the division, but I don't know what they'll do out there with him because, you know, there's a guy that's done both jobs. And see, I'm in that camp right now. I'm not quite sure. And again, I'm sure, you know, your opinion may be different. I'm just not quite sure I'm prepared to go into this season, a season in which we haven't made the playoffs in 3 years, a season in which the bullpen's been atrocious, without a guy that's actually pitched in the ninth inning and done it effectively over time. I think the Cardinals have an opportunity to Cardinal this offseason. The guy that I'm looking at that I think screams Cardinal is David Robertson. Much like Josh Donaldson, he's not going to get the money that some of the other guys are going to get, and he's not going to get the years. I think this, you know, Kelvin Herrera is going to get some money. Craig Kimbrell is going to really get paid, and that, to me, might be the one that somebody winds up regretting. But, you know, Juris Familia is going to be an interesting thing. I don't know what people are going to do with him. But I like Juris Familia. I like David Robertson. The reason I like them, they've shown me they can do both roles. Depending on what the Cardinals want to do with a Hicks or with a Reyes, these two guys have shown me they can do both roles. Now, there's other guys that have as well. Joaquin Soria has done both roles, although I don't know what's going on there. Cody Allen sure seems to me like he's running out of gas. See, that's in the end. You said something that I think people have to understand, and this is the concern. The bullpen for 90% of the guys that pitch in it is not a place to make a long career.
Yeah.
It's just not. Typically, the guys that have long careers in the bullpen are guys that are either very lucky, left-handed specialists, and closers. Closers have a majorly defined role. When you're in the bullpen and you don't have a majorly defined role, you are throwing all the time. All the time. And it's just not healthy. There's no way around it. It's not healthy. This isn't a manager overthrowing somebody. It's not healthy.
Yeah, and you know what ends up getting closers? And sure, they're not up as often, but the emotional stress of being a closer, their shelf life might be a little bit longer, but they're not substantially longer. I wonder how many closers from last year, you know, from 2016 were closing in 2017, and I wonder how many of those guys were closing in 2018. I bet you the number is 70, maybe 25 to 30%. Closers recycle just as quick as any other. You know what I mean? Like, it's just they're not up as much.
I think what I was getting at, I think, is if some of the great closers. I think what's allowed some of them that can handle the mental side of it, most of those also – like a Mariano Rivera, there's no doubt benefited from the Yankees being able to say, listen, you're not going to pitch unless it's a, you know what I'm saying? Like there is no doing this and this and this. Plus, to be quite frank, I don't know that you'll see careers anymore like a Trevor Hoffman or a Mariano Rivera, because now we're using closers, in multiple innings, and we're using them in so the way the game has changed. I just don't know that you're going to see it, and I think people are going to have to understand this. I don't think I know what you mean by guys going into the bullpen, but if you're going to do it for more than a year, it's not healthy. You can't argue this point. It is not a healthy place to pitch.
Yeah, but I mean, eventually, that's always been how it is. You know what I mean? Like, you start off with a starter, and then when they can't be a starter, they move to the bullpen, and then when their bullpen time's over, they retreat into oblivion.
That's right.
You know? But the thing is, to that point, then you're also arguing that any relief pitcher that you would sign in the offseason is already completely used goods because they've been through the grinder.
Sure.
And they've already used up those relief pitching innings. So at that point, doesn't it make the most sense to look at your internal options and use them until you can't use them anymore?
Well,
or is it to go the Bud Norris route where you find a pitcher who's done a little relieving, who has done starting, and then try to maximize their value?
Well, let me ask you this to piggyback on what you just said. Don't you think it is kind of interesting, though, that it sure seems like the trend last year switched to 2 years on these contracts?
Yeah, and it should. It absolutely should. Yeah, it should be no more than 3 years. Like, Kimbrel should get 3 years. He's the exception. But David Robertson, if those guys are asking for any more than 2 years, then you absolutely pass it up. I will stand by that until the day I die. Kimbrel's interesting to me because to me, and I've never been the world's biggest Craig Kimbrel fan, but to me, Kimbrel seems like he's at the Jason Isringhausen stage of his career when Izzy signed with the Cardinals.
Yeah.
And that's got my mind twisted because under most circumstances, I would never even entertain the idea of signing Kimbrel. But if plan A and plan B and plan C don't work out, then if I'm John Mozeliak, I would think about pursuing that avenue and seeing what it looks like. But I still would not want to give them the years and the money because giving relief pitchers anything more than 2 years is a bad, bad idea.
Well, yeah, we're living with one of them, right? So, but here's the problem, and this is where I'll leave it today. And you know, I think you've kind of said your piece. So here's my issue. I think we could do what you want to do if we weren't in a bad way. I think the Cardinals have to take a risk here. They have to take, because they don't have a guy that has pitched in the ninth inning. They just don't. I think they have to take a risk here. So, you know, if I'm going to risk on this, and I was glad to hear Benji talk a little bit about Jairus Familia's situation off the field. It's not what we thought it was.
Yeah.
So I think that'll help a little bit with the whole, you know, off-field stuff. Jairus Familia is the one that intrigues me the most. He's only 29 years old. He's pitched in really high leverage situations. He's done both jobs. A guy that's closed games didn't complain. I'll do whatever you want me to do. You know what? I'm intrigued by him. And like I said, I think the Cardinals are in a situation where they have to come out of this thing. They have to come out of this thing this year with a left-hander, whether it be, again, they can sign him or they can trade for him. And I know you know what I know is Mo's going to take a different tact here. But I think they have to come out of it with, I can't get off of Familia or Robertson. And again, with Robertson, if you really do look at guys that have had a decent career, he's had a good career. Is it getting ready to come crashing down? Is it getting ready to come crashing down? I don't know, maybe. But I think the Cardinals have to take a chance. And I think it is a financial risk for them, but they've put themselves in this position. You know?
Yeah, and look, I like Familia a lot. I think if I were to choose in between the two, I would think that you would go Familia. He just has better raw stuff at this point. He's a little less, worse for the wear. I have two questions for you.
Okay.
My first question for you is, now I completely agree with you. I if you're going to go in that direction, then you go big. So I guess question part one is, and I know you're not the biggest Kimbrel fan, or you think he might be hitting the wall. But
no, I'm guessing. Hang on, stop. I'm guessing. That's a guess because I love Kimbrel. Because I love him.
Yeah.
I'm like almost trying to outsmart myself. How can you not like Craig Kimbrel, right? How can you not like him?
I don't know. I can't explain it. But but I guess what I'm saying is if you go high, doesn't it make more sense to buy big? And the other part of that is with the Cardinals. Do you think they're more likely to bring in someone like Bud Norris again to pad themselves, or do you think they're more than likely to bring in someone like Jairus Familia or David Robertson?
Okay, so now you're getting into what do I think the Cardinals will do. Well, that's the whole
–
see, I've talked myself out of Kimbrel because it just doesn't – I'm looking at the – now, you got to remember, these like there's wheels in motion here, Kyle. We've got our wheels in motion, right? So we've already spent $350 million on Bryce Harper. I don't see them giving $45 million to Craig Kimbrel. So over 3 years. I don't see them giving Kimbrel Wade Davis money. So what I do see them doing is stretching out to a third year for Familia and getting him. So it's Harper and Familia for me.
There you go. I like that. I like that. I personally believe, and I told our little group chat that it's just they're gonna end up re-signing Bud Norris, and
oh,
that's probably gonna be it. Like that's my guess. And I do believe that they'll look outside of the organization to find a left-handed pitcher. There are a couple really interesting players that have multiple years of control that aren't just Watson. There's another pitcher for San Francisco again. We'll let Mo's algorithm get into that. He's interesting.
Yeah.
But there's the Blue Jays have a lefty named Meza, who's really interesting. Like, if you look around at some of the teams that they have trade history with, like, there are other left-handed options that are pretty talented that do some pretty interesting things. I don't think that that's going to come via the free agent market. I think that they're going to have to look outside to feed that left-handed need.
I'm over pitchers from the Blue Jays.
Yeah,
I'm
me
over
too,
it.
Now that I think about
I'm
it.
Over it. I'm
we got
over
Chris,
it.
We got Chris Carpenter, and now everything's revenge.
Yeah, it's like payback, I guess, if that's what they want to. That's what they want to call it, but I'm not. I'm off. I'm over it. I'm over it. I'm over it. I'm over it. So that's what I'm. You know, that's my plan. I'm going to sign again. All predicated on Bryce Harper. I'm going to go Familia. If we don't get Bryce Harper and we go a different route, well, then I think, you know, if you really want to get serious about this, I think if you were to sign a guy like Craig Kimbrel, you're really rolling the dice and saying, you know what, I've got some really good depth down there to get myself to Kimbrel. So we'll see. I find myself talking myself in and out of guys based on not what I think. Like, again, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to look at the St. Louis Cardinals' problems the last few years and go, it's Craig Kimbrel, dumbass. I mean, quit talking dumb shit. They have money. You've said 100 times over, Jim, they've got money. Quit sitting on all this pile of money. You need a closer. Go out and sign the guy, right? I mean, it's that simple. But I find myself trying to find myself somewhere between fantasy and reality and saying, okay, who looks Cardinal to me? And I got to tell you, Familia and Robertson both look Cardinal to me. You know, I could see Familia. I don't know about you, but I could see Familia maybe getting 3 years, $25 million. You know, and I hate to say this, but I think if you got him for 3 years and $25 million, I think you'd have to do that. I really do.
Yeah, that'd be a really good deal. I keep thinking both he and Robertson are going to get more than that. Like, I think $330 for Familia. Because everyone knows that what he went through legally is you know, not erroneous, but it's all been expunged from his record.
Right.
You know, that changes exactly what how teams will view him. I think Familia is going to get paid. He was really good before all of it. He was good since. I think Familia is going to get paid. I think Robertson's the one where his contract will be a little bit lighter than maybe we expect. That might be, if he gets 2 years, like 2 years, 20. But I do think Familia is going to get more, but I'm just not that. The release market is such a joke. It's so hard to get a feel for. I don't know what's going to happen.
Well, again, the Cardinals have put themselves in a position that I think they have to try something. So I don't think they can sit on the sideline on this one and go with in-house. I understand your points about they have some good inter. I just don't know how whether it, I don't know how you don't look at it and go, I don't care if it's starters or relievers, that you sit here and don't go, well, what's the theme here? More and more pitching. I mean, guys are trading for pitching, and you're going, geez, don't they have enough pitching? And they're trading for more pitching. And then those guys wind up in the playoffs, you know. And that's where I'm at with it. And I don't think this town can take another year. I don't you know, everybody talks about the 3.4 million tickets sold. It's, you know, we've got 3.4 million tickets sold. We don't have 3.4 million coming through the turnstiles. And, you know, that's the first sign of a problem. The next sign of the problem is less than 3.4 sold. So a good business person wouldn't wait for that to happen. They would address it while they're making money so that they don't make less money. So we'll see.
And more importantly than anything, just go out and sign Bryce Harper, and then who cares after that?
Yes, I agree. So anyway, well, hey, thanks, man. I appreciate you coming on today. Where can our listeners follow you at?
On Twitter, you can find me at KYLER416. I write for Birds on the Black. And Prospects After Dark is one day a week, sometimes Thursday. I think this week we're planning on doing it Sunday. We had a really good showing this prior Sunday when we did our season one finale. So I think we'll probably kick off season two either Friday if free agency news breaks, Saturday when free agency news breaks, or more than likely Sunday at 8:30.
Great stuff as always, my man. Well, I appreciate you, and I look forward to talking to you next week. Next week, we'll start taking a look at realistic trade options next week.
I love it. Let's do it.
All right, brother. I appreciate you. Take care.
Yeah, you too, brother.
All right. That's Kyle Reese of Prospects After Dark fame, Birds on the Black fame, and now a member of our crew here at Bowties and Bullshit. And now taking more of an analytical approach to the subject, problem, opportunity, depending on how you want to look at the Cardinals bullpen this year. Let's welcome in everybody's favorite Moe's Algorithm. What's going on, pal?
Hey, Jim. How are you doing today?
Doing well. Had an interesting conversation with Kyle Reese. I think he probably blew everybody's mind, basically saying that I don't know that he'd really sign anybody, maybe get a left-hander somehow, some way, but he's not of the opinion that he wants to spend any money on relievers, as it's proven to be not a surefire method. I know that through our conversations that you're going to take a little bit of a different approach to how you want to attack the bullpen. I kind of said that I wanted to look at the free agents and see what they were, but I know that you're taking a different tack. So let's first off say, am I to assume that you're not interested in paying money for relievers?
Actually, Kyle and I have talked a lot about this, and we are of the same opinion. There really just isn't much out there in the free agent market reliever-wise that would make me want to open up the checkbook, per se. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work very well very often. It's a crapshoot. We found out with that with last year with Holland. A lot of other teams found that out the hard way as well. I would rather find controllable arms via trade or work with the guys the Cardinals already have in their system. Because if you look at the way the bullpen is, you know, looking right now, other than a left-hander, they're fine, really. I mean, there's a lot of options that they have in the bullpen right now. From the right-handed side, a left-hander is definitely a must, and I don't like the free agents at all. There's nothing that really interests me there. I would prefer to get a left-hander via a trade if possible.
Well, let's take a look at the. Okay, first off, I'm going to give you my spiel, and then you can tear it apart. So, I'm with you. I believe last year when we started having you be a part of the show, I think we had some conversations. I think we looked at relievers. I think we did a lot of different things. And the truth of the matter was almost every guy that we really wanted didn't work out. I get that. I think it is proving to be a crapshoot. I think it goes into what I've said for a long time. I mean, these guys only have once you hit that bullpen and become a bullpenner, a guy that's subjected to throwing almost every day, like in high leverage situations, warming up, sitting down, warming back up, pitching, rest, you know, stress, whatever. I think you've subjected yourself to the beginning of the end of your career. Now, some guys it lasts longer than others. It's just that simple. Guys that have defined roles and don't get put in that situation tend to do that. Guys that don't throw hard, that are more of control guys, with the effort, you know, your quote unquote lefty specialist that throws a lot of off speed curveballs, a lot of dead fish pitches. It sure seems like those guys can stick around for a while. The flamethrower or the guy that has closer stuff that either pitches the eighth or closes, that has worked his way into that role. It sure seems like the bullpen has taken a toll on these guys. That being said, I'm looking at it from my point of view, and this is where I want to get your thought and see if I'm crazy, but I think under normal circumstances, I could go with what you and Kyle are kind of saying, but I don't know that the Cardinals have that luxury only because the bullpen has been awful and they haven't made the playoffs for 3 years. I almost think that I'm okay with the theory of we don't need a completely revamped bullpen, but I just don't know how you don't come out of this offseason with a proven right-hander that can pitch at the back end of games. And I'm not even saying it's got to be Kimbrel, but I don't know how you don't have a guy that hasn't pitched in that situation before, and I don't know how you don't come out of this offseason with a left-hander, all the while knowing that whichever free agent you sign is going to be a risk.
And that's totally fair, and I would agree with you. I do, and that's you know, looking at my list, I have a list of three guys that I wanted to talk about today, and all three of those guys fit the parameters that you just described, only they're not free agents.
Okay, so start with one.
Okay, so the first thing I wanted to talk about today was a little metric, because I'm going to bring it up a few times.
Okay.
And that's XFIP, so Fielder's Independent Pitching. It's the more advanced version of that. And what they really do
say
with that
again
is
for our listeners. What is that? It's what?
XFIP.
Okay.
XFIP.
Okay.
Yep. And so basically, what Fielder Independent Pitching does is it strips out defense, luck, and sequencing. It really holds pitchers accountable for what they're responsible for, which are strikeouts, walks, hit by pitches, and home runs. Right. Those are the things the pitcher can control.
Sure.
So what XFIP does is it assumes a 10.5% fly ball to home run ratio, which is kind of league average, because fly ball to home run ratio can fluctuate from season to season, and it takes a lot of times it's noise. It takes a lot of innings before it becomes pretty stable. So that assumes a 10.5% fly ball to home run rate. XFIP is the highest correlation with future ERA of all pitching metrics. So of all the metrics we have available to project what a pitcher is going to do in the future, we use XFIP, right?
Okay.
So just an idea, an excellent XFIP is 290, an average XFIP is 380, and an awful XFIP is 470.
Okay.
So just giving you kind of a rough overview of what XFIP, because I'm going to talk about that and not so much ERA, because ERA is so dependent on the team you play for, the defense, and all that. So the first guy I want to talk about is Archie Bradley. He is I guess you'd call him the setup man for the Arizona Diamondbacks. He's 26 years old, right-handed pitcher. He has 3 years of control remaining. I think he would stabilize the back end, the eighth, ninth inning with Jordan Hicks. So I think he throws very hard. I think you would have those two. You can battle it out in spring training, do what you need to for the ninth inning. But I think those two really stabilize that back end, that eighth, ninth inning, getting that taken care of. Archie Bradley had an amazing 2017. He had a 321 XFIP, 9.74 strikeouts per nine innings. In 2018, he had a 3.57 XFIP, which is still good, and a 9.42 strikeouts per nine. He's set to make $2 million in arbitration this year, so he doesn't cost a lot financially, which is good. He also comes with that 3 years of control. And I think you could get him it's going to take a little bit to get him, but I think it would be worth it if you're looking to secure that back end for the future. It wouldn't just be a one-year type of thing.
Okay, so I'm going to say what I always say about guys like this. If Archie Bradley was available, well, there's going to be a load of teams that would like to have him, especially in this day and age. So he's going to cost you. I mean, you're not going to get this guy for nobody. You're not going to trade Brett Cecil and Dexter Fowler for this guy. So, I mean, what type of? I mean, I'm not arguing with you. That's a tremendous. I'm just being honest, saying, well, who the hell wouldn't want Archie Bradley? I mean, I'd love to have Archie Bradley. I haven't even thought about him because I can't for the life of me imagine them trading him for the very reasons you're talking about. Why would they trade him?
Well, if they're going to start, as some reporters have reported, I won't say the names.
Sure.
Arizona sounds like they might tear it down, right? And during that process, you would start to, like, much like the Marlins, you would start to look at controllable assets that are going to cost a lot for other teams to get. And Archie Bradley, with only 3 years of control, he wouldn't really fall into that rebuild window, right? So you'd be looking at Diamondbacks, you know, trading guys like Paul Goldschmidt, Archie Bradley, Robbie Ray, David Peralta. I mean, if they're truly tearing this thing down, you know, and starting over, then those are the controllable assets that they would be looking to trade. And I think with only 3 years of control, the get that they would get for him is worth understanding that he wouldn't be a part of that 3 year window. So that's kind of why I looked at him and, you know, when you look at teams that are saying they're willing to start to tear down, you look for assets like that would help you in the future, as well as right now.
Okay, so so I'm looking at this going, do they take, are they interested in a guy like Luke Weaver for Archie Bradley?
You know, that's an interesting one.
My guess is only because Luke Weaver's already begun. I mean, by time they rebuild and by time they do their thing, Luke Weaver, if he pans out, is going to be like in a situation to get paid.
Yeah, and that's what you look at. You'd want to look at more along the lines of guys who have not started their major league clock. That's typically what team, you know, kind of like the Marlins did last year when we got Ozuna. You know, they took guys that mostly, you know, for the most part, had not started their major league clock yet, but had a promising future.
So are you going to trade Dakota Hudson for Archie Bradley?
I certainly would. I definitely would. I wouldn't think twice about that.
Okay. Or if they've already looked at him since he's technically started his clock, are you going to trade one of your better? I mean, are you going to trade Ryan Helsley for him?
I would.
Okay. All right. I see where you're going. Okay. Next player.
The next guy on my list is Will Smith, the left-handed reliever for the San Francisco Giants. He's 29 years old. He comes with 1 year of control. He in 2017, he had Tommy John surgery, so he missed the whole year. And he came back in 2018 with, like, the best year of his career. He had a 276 xFIP. That's beyond excellent. A 12 K per nine, so he was striking guys out right and left. His xFIP versus left-handed hitters was 1.61. This guy was as dominant as they come, especially versus lefties. He's set to make $4.1 million in arbitration this year. This is his final year of arbitration. So you would be looking at a one-year rental. But I think that lowers his cost a little bit compared to a guy like Archie Bradley. And he plays for the Giants. So they have other options as well, which we'll get into with my next guy from the left side. So they may not necessarily need him, and they have a lot of other needs, especially in the starting rotation. So I think this is where a guy like Luke Weaver, I was talking to Kyle about this last night, this might be a situation where a Luke Weaver trade fits, because the Giants aren't going to rebuild. They're like the Cardinals. They're not going to. That's just not part of their process. They're going to continue to throw money at it and do things they can to try and win because their fan base just isn't going to accept a rebuild. So this guy is incredible. He is low risk because he only comes with 1 year of control. So if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out, you know. Yeah. But if it does, you have the opportunity to re-sign him or whatever. But I think his cost would be a little less than Archie Bradley just to do the years of control.
Okay, well, I'm on board because I love Will Smith. He was good the year. He was good before the injury. So and to come back after it and have a great. I'm on board. Okay, I like Will Smith. Next.
The next guy is a guy that made me scratch my head because he lasted in free agency all the way to February last year.
Oh, I know who it is.
Signed,
drive me nuts.
Signed for virtually nothing, and then was dominant against lefties this year. And I don't know what Mo was doing on February 19th when Tony Watson signed with the San Francisco Giants.
Okay, yeah, I screwed this one up. Okay, I screwed this one up when I was talking. I want to just make a clarification here. So help me here. Did Tony Watson get traded from Pittsburgh the year before? The year when he was going to be a free agent. Did Pittsburgh move him somewhere?
Yeah, so July of 2017, Tony Watson was traded from the Pittsburgh Pirates to the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Okay, that was it. That was when I wanted him, and I couldn't believe we didn't get him. But then I thought, okay, it makes sense. The Pirates weren't going to trade him in the division. They traded him outside the division. And then when he's a free agent, they can't control where he goes. So, okay, because I remember being pissed off about that, and I'm sitting here going, why in the world? Okay, so it made sense. Yes, that was the guy last year I was sitting there going, are you kidding me? Now, if I'm not mistaken, I don't know that he was great when he either – now we're going back 2 years. Either he got into a point where he was starting to struggle in Pittsburgh, or when he got to L.A., I don't think he was very good.
He was not very good in L.A.
Okay, that's –
2017. Okay. His 2017 was not great. He had a 429 xFIP. But he did some things in 2018, which leads you to believe that, you know – He's worth the risk. His xFIP in 2018 was 3.09. His xFIP versus left-handed hitters was 1.73. His K per nine went from 7.16 up to 982. So there was a definite uptick in his strikeout percentage. He cut down on his home runs a lot. He had a lot of home run issues in 2017, which, like I said, with that home run to fly ball ratio, that can get wonky sometimes. He signed a 2-year, $7 million deal with the Giants last year, with a player option for 2019. So in 2018, he's owed $3.5 million. 2019, his player option is $2.5 million. He's 33 years old, so there's a little age risk, you know, a little bit. But I mean, God, this guy's so cheap. And like, you know, we just talked about Will Smith. Do the Giants really need Will Smith and Tony Watson with all the other holes they have, especially in their outfield and their starting rotation? You know, you look at teams like this who have excess in certain areas, and this is where you got to try and attack and really improve your team while benefiting them as well.
Well, all three of your options, let me tell you something. If we came out of this offseason and didn't go any free agent route, and you brought me Archie Bradley and either Will Smith or Tony Watson, I'd be ecstatic. So, you know, I like them all. I like all three. So, yeah, I'm on board. Hey, sign me up. Where do I sign up for this?
Right? We just need to email Mo, I guess, and see if he can look into these guys.
Well, you are Mo, though. That's the problem. So, hey, we learned a little bit about XFIP today. So there's our educational portion of this and how we're going to apply it to this. For next week, you jumped the gun on me. Realistic trade target. So I'm assuming next week when we start talking about realistic trade targets, you won't be talking about relief pitchers because you've already covered it this week. So next week, that's the plan, my man, is realistic trade targets. Just to give you an update for all of our listeners out there, where can they follow you?
On Facebook at MOZ Algorithm and on Twitter at MOZ _algorithm. And real quick before I go, I put up a Twitter poll out there just a little bit ago that a lot of folks are going to find very interesting. And since the results will be posted before the show gets posted, I just wanted to let you know. I don't know if you had a chance to look at it yet, but in that poll, player A is Joe Kelly and player B is Bud Norris. So for everybody who's going nuts over wanting Joe Kelly on the Cardinals next year, just take a look at some of those stats I posted compared to Bud Norris, and you tell me who you want next year.
Let me tell you something. Joe Kelly is an up-and-down guy. I know everybody loves him because the last thing you saw was really up, but he's had his problems too. I've watched him pitch a lot for a variety of reasons. I mean, again, it all goes back to you really pay attention when you have a guy on your fantasy team, trust me. And I'm not going to say he reminds me of Jordan Hicks, but sometimes you watch him throw 100 miles an hour and you're like, how is he struggling?
Yep.
Why is he struggling? And then he puts it together and he's really, really good for a stretch. But he's a roller coaster guy, whether people want to admit that or not. And again, if you signed him, I wouldn't. Like most of these guys, I'm not going to get upset if they sign them because I'm at the juncture now where they got to do something. You can't come back with just what you have. So they got to do something.
Sure.
So anyway, great stuff as always, my man. I look forward to seeing you next week.
All right, Jim. I'll talk to you later.
All right. That is Mo's Algorithm giving you that analytical look at the problems and the solutions, which I know we love. And he's tremendous. We've had him here for a while, and he makes the show better. There's no doubt about it. That's Mo's Algorithm. All right, let's get to it now with my man, Brendan Schaefer. What do you say, Brendan?
Hey, how are we doing today?
Doing okay. Interesting conversations with the first two guys. You know, I've kind of asked you guys to take a look at the free agent relievers. I know our good friend Benji Molina has reminded us on numerous occasions that it's real nice to talk about Bryce Harper and Manny Machado and Josh Donaldson and so on and so on and so on. But the reality of it is the St. Louis Cardinals have missed the playoffs the last couple of years because the bullpen just hasn't been good enough. There's bullpen pieces out there. There's some intriguing names out there. So I kind of tasked everybody with taking a look at it. I don't mind telling you that the first two guys in front of you have taken a little bit of a different stance on this thing. And as always, talking to guys that I find to be intelligent and knowledgeable have me rethinking some of my own theories. But you and I have been in lockstep lately in some opinions. So I'm real curious to see what your take is. If Brendan Schaefer's making the call, what are we doing with this bullpen?
Well, I want to preface it by saying, just reminding, as we talked about last week, my preference would be to probably go with a starter if I'm going to spend significant money, because I think that's the better value. But if I'm looking at the relievers, and I've got to kind of pick from a pool of guys, the most important thing to me, because of the idea of I don't want another Brett Cecil situation, I don't want to pay a guy in the neighborhood of $20 million, $30 million, and end up having to be a complete bust. And so, you know, when I look at that, I understand that there are going to be a lot of names that probably are going to command around that salary or potentially even more. And so you kind of have to be selective. But I kind of am interested in, you know, some of the maybe more of the buy low opportunities. A couple of the names that I like for that, one especially would be Cody Allen. I'm interested to see because he had a rougher season as the Indians closer this past season, but with a 4.7 ERA, but still pretty good strikeouts per nine, higher whip. But I feel like maybe you could potentially get him for a little bit of a better price point that could allow you to do some other things. And if you're looking for a lefty, Zach Britton, I think, can be the dominant Zach Britton that he used to be. He's going to cost more, I think, than maybe you're interested in paying. But because his last season wasn't so fantastic, it's not like you're going to be paying top dollar market value Zach Britton the way you might have thought you would have a couple years ago when he had a 0.47 ERA with the Orioles. So he would definitely fit as far as a left-hander is concerned. And I mean, there's some other names out there. I don't think I'm married to any one guy. It's going to be the value. Like, people are talking about a Joe Kelly. I don't think that works because I think he's somebody who really raised his profile with his performance in the postseason, in the World Series especially, and it's going to make more money than maybe he's worth. I think the same thing about a guy that like Nate Eovaldi, who's a starter, but you know, you saw in the postseason could be used in different roles and can do some different things for you. It got his velocity pumped up over 100 miles an hour. Those are the kind of names that I think you have to shy away from if you're the Cardinals, because they're going to be making more money than maybe they're worth because of the recency bias.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You brought up Eovaldi. I've seen people bring him up, and I remind people very quickly that that's a guy that's going to go into this offseason wanting to be signed as a starter, and yes, Somebody's going to do that. So you're looking at, and people are like, well, we could use another starter. And I'm like, well, yeah, we could, just like you and I think have kind of talked about. If you signed another one, I wouldn't be all bent out of shape as long as he was a good quality starter. And if you signed a lefty starter, I would understand that too. Or if you traded for one or whatever the case would be. That being said, you know, the Cardinals have real needs. I think when you're a good team, and you have a strength and you go and even make that strength stronger, I'm all for that. I've always said that. I have a gentleman that I go back and forth with on Twitter all the time about when the Cardinals didn't sign Max Scherzer. He always says, if you look back, you can understand why the Cardinals didn't do it, couldn't justify it. I said, listen, you don't not sign Max Scherzer because you have Shelby Miller. I mean, that's what they did, right? They didn't sign Max Scherzer because they had they had Michael Wacha and Shelby Miller, and we don't need a starter. Well, he's not a starter. He's Max Scherzer. And while he has gotten better, even better since he signed his free agent deal, he was still damn good the 2 years before he signed that free agent deal. Okay. And these guys get paid to, I mean, are we really always just going to pay for guys that have done it for 4 or 5 years? Or is somebody around here going to look at a guy and say, we need to get him now? You know, that's where I'm at on this. So, just like, do the Yankees need Bryce Harper or Manny Machado? They don't really need them, but they're probably going to sign one of them. There's nothing wrong with building off of strength and saying, you know I can hit. I'm going to go ahead and hit even better. I know I have some good young starting pitching. I'm going to go get another one. So I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you. I would say the Cardinals are in a position right now after missing the playoffs for 3 years where I think you have to come out of this offseason and just be better somehow, some way. So if that's your way, I'm okay with it. If it's Mo's way, I'm okay with it. If it's Kyle's way. But the only thing that I'll disagree with a little bit with Kyle is Kyle, you know, and these guys, everybody's getting a little gung-shy because of what happened last year with the relief market. And I understand that. Nobody really panned out. But I will say this, and I'm curious your thoughts on this. What we also picked up last year, though, is that the relief market has changed a little bit where a lot of those guys got two-year deals, and a lot of those guys sat for a while. So if that market shifts and some of these guys are two-year guys, I don't see how the Cardinals, being in the position they're in, don't come out of there with at least one guy. So I'm going to ask you, if you come out of this relief free agent market with one guy, and it's a two-year deal, and even if you got to pay him a little more than you want, who are you coming out of there with?
Okay, so if it's a two-year deal, I can be a little bit more comfortable and can even expand my list a little bit to say, because some of the guys that, like, I expect Zach Bruton's going to get more than a two-year deal. Even Andrew Miller, pardon me, is probably going to get more than a two-year deal despite not having pitched quite as well.
See, I don't see
lately.
That. I don't see that.
You think those guys are going to only be – I don't agree with that. I think they're going to get at least three, both of them. I think we'll get at least three.
Well, I mean, let me ask you a question. I mean, again, I love this. This is a great conversation. So last year, you and I are both sitting here, right, even though we weren't doing the show together last year, but you and I were both doing the same thing we're doing now last year. Weren't you looking at Addison Reed last year going, oh, my God, this guy's going to get 3 or 4 years, and he's going to go somewhere, and he's going to be – I mean, you know what I'm saying?
And Ryan Shaw was the same way. He was another guy that got 3 and 27, I believe it was. And so I guess the premise would be, because some of those didn't work out, teams might be less inclined to give those longer deals, but maybe they bump the AAV a little bit more on a two-year deal. Is that kind of where you're going?
Yeah, I mean, it just seemed to me like last year that a few guys got an extra maybe $1 million a year and they signed two-year deals. I mean, Juan Nicasio being one of them. He being one of them. And that's where I'm coming from. So I'm looking at this thing going, there's a few guys on here. Now, to your point, I agree with you. There are a couple guys on here that if I had to give a third year to, I would. I mean, if I had to give a third year to Juris Familia, I would. I mean, he's 29. He's not 31. I think he's proven he's back healthy. He's done both jobs. He's my guy. That's if I was going to pick one guy on this list, Juris Familia is the guy I'm going to get.
Okay. So I'm looking at, you know, some of these names. I'm just going to try to throw some numbers out here, and this is going to be a little bit willy-nilly. But like Zach Britton, I think Zach Britton could get as many as 4 years, unless he really wanted to get a higher AAV. I think he gets at least three. Only 30 years old, going to turn 31 in December. I think Andrew Miller is young enough and good enough. I think that the difference with those two guys is, you know, and with the pitching left-handed and things like that, they've been at a higher peak, and teams kind of know what they can do if they can kind of catch that lightning in a bottle again. I think teams will be more willing to go 3 years on those guys, a little younger, a little better at their peak. I'm interested in maybe Joaquin Soria. You talked about having a guy that is closed before, and I think if I'm talking a two-year deal, I'm comfortable with Soria a little bit because he, you know, he's a little older, I think 32, 33, in that range.
35.
Yeah. So even older. And so I'm thinking 2 year deal, I'm maybe okay with somebody like that who I'm not comfortable with him being my closer, but has the experience. Am I comfortable with him, you know, being an eighth inning guy, you know, had good numbers with the White Sox, less good numbers with the Brewers after he went over there. But I think that maybe falls into the category of a guy that you could get on a two-year deal, a little bit less of a price. It's kind of like you're paying a little bit more than you did for a Bud Norris on an average annual value. Maybe you're only talking $5-6 million for him. But a guy I'm comfortable with, I think David Robertson might even fall in that same category. He would probably be a little more expensive, but again, like 34, 35 years old, a guy that you say, okay, maybe 1 or 2 years we can live with that because it's not going to hamstring us for a long time, and they've got the experience doing what we're looking for.
Well, I've said 100 times over that David Robertson's the one that I think allows the Cardinal to Cardinal. You know, I don't see him getting more than 2 years. He's done both jobs. He's been pretty effective for a guy that's been around. I mean, he kind of breaks the norm, right? He's been around for a little while. But like all of them, up and down. There's flavor of the month guys out there. There's guys that have done this. From the beginning, I've loved Familia. I wanted to stay away from him because of the off the field issue. I think as things have come out about it, I think we're realizing that it's not what we thought it was. It's been I understand that there's more to the story all the time than what we get. So I'm much more comfortable today than I was a week ago saying that I want Juris Familia. My issue is, and I'm curious your thought is that if you get a guy, I don't know how you don't get a guy that hasn't closed before, because I don't know about you, but I'm not comfortable going into this season without a guy that's pitched in the ninth effectively.
I mean, I'd prefer to have that, but we were thinking it was a slam dunk when they got Greg Holland, and we're kind of talking about a guy who, you know, and there were extenuating circumstances with his spring training. I understand that. But we're talking about these guys who, yeah, they've closed before, and, you know, they've done a little bit of everything, and they're in their mid-30s, and, you know, we think they can be good fits. It's hard to say what's to keep those guys from Greg Hollanding on us if you do go that route. But certainly, I don't want to take a guy who, you know, flavor of the month as a middle reliever, and, you know, the eighth inning guy showed up in the playoffs, and you're going to have to pay a premium for him. But I think there are you know, you got to kind of trust your evaluations too, and I know that hasn't been a strong suit for the Cardinals of late with this kind of area of the pitching market. But, you know, trust the guys that you think can develop into closers. Because you look at last offseason, we were talking about Alex Colome. The Cardinals, you know, reports were that they didn't see him as a closer. They, you know, they knew he had the experience. He led the American League in saves, but they didn't like him going forward. They didn't like what he projected to do as a closer going forward. And, you know, he had a mediocre season. And so I wonder if it's just a matter of you gotta evaluate, and you gotta know, you know, you gotta hit on one of these guys. And even if he doesn't have closing experience, I wouldn't be fundamentally opposed to it. But again, you're having to trust the front office to make the right evaluation on a guy that hasn't done it versus a guy that has.
No, I'm with you. And, you know, if we hadn't had the problems we've had the last couple years, obviously, 2-3 years, I mean, I'd be okay with it. But I'm sitting here looking at this going, you know, if you give me, and I'm just going to throw some stupid names out there. I mean, if you give me Carter Capps and say, you know, you got him cheap because he's been hurt, but he's done it before, I'm going to be pissed off. You know, if you give me Sergio Romo and say, you know, we got him on a 1-year deal, the guys, I'm going to be pissed off.
I'm with you on those names. I'm,
you know,
with you there.
You know, it's funny how I sit here and say that I think Robertson gives them an opportunity to Cardinal, but those two names I just gave you are true Cardinal signings. You know, I hate the fact that one of your predecessors said that he really thinks the Cardinals bring back Bud Norris, and I'm like, oh my God, if that happens.
Ooh, I don't see it. I don't see that.
I will be hot if they do
that. I could be wrong. I could be wrong, but I just don't see it. The way he flamed out the end of me, and I don't see it at all.
Yeah, I don't.
Maybe even for more reasons than on the field. Like, I don't know that that's maybe fair or unfair to say. You know, we can just kind of speculate on all the kind of weirdness, but I don't know. I just would be surprised to see it.
Yeah, I'm looking at this thing. Obviously, when you hear it back, you're going to hear Mo's take. I mean, he doesn't even want to touch the free agency thing. He's got some guys he wants to target in trades.
Who do you say?
What he like, he wants to go get Archie Bradley and then one of Will Smith or Tony Watson. So,
okay.
And again, if we did that, I'm okay with that.
There are ways to do that. There are definitely, you know, they can make, and I've been saying to make trade. And so that would make sense.
I think you realistically could get Tony Watson or Will Smith. I understand that all the reports are is that Arizona is going to tear this thing down and rebuild. Well, number one, they don't have to move Archie Bradley tomorrow.
No,
and number two, if Archie Bradley was available, everybody and their brother is going to be interested in Archie Bradley. So, but then again, on the flip side, if Will Smith's available, I think everybody's going to be interested in Will Smith. I mean, 1 year, you know, you're only locked in him for 1 year. He was good before he got hurt. He had his best year after he got hurt. Left-handers are a premium. I mean, neither one of these guys, in my opinion, are going to come cheap. So we'll see what happens. That's why I always get a little nervous with trades, and the reality of it is free agents cost you nothing but money and risk. So do the Cardinals – is there risk? There absolutely is risk. Have the Cardinals put themselves in a position that they need to take that risk? I say yes. I don't know any other way around this, but if you came back next year and say, well, you know, if Mo is standing in front of a podium in March or February and is like, you know, we went through the market and we looked at the landscape, and in the end, we just didn't feel like for the risk and for the amount of money and for the amount of years of commitment, we just didn't feel that there was anything out there that overwhelmed us to the point where we felt it was worth blocking what we had. If he does that, I'm going to be pissed off because don't have a left-hander. He better minimum get me a left-hander, and then I'm telling you, he's basically betting all his cards that one of these guys can get the last three outs of a game.
Here's where I'm at, though. I agree with you. Go get a left-hander, but I don't think that guy has to be in the bullpen. I think I understand that there are there are issues with the bullpen, and but kind of going back to, and I don't want to say I'm gun shy because of last year, because it's more than that, but it's just an element of, can we trust the front office to identify which reliever to spend $25 million on, or $20 million on, or maybe which two relievers, and say it's all going to pan out. If you're going to spend that much money, say you're going to get two relievers, they're going to be $10 million a year guys for 2 years, so you're spending $40 million bucks. I would just say put all that money into a pile, go sign a left-handed starter like Patrick Corbin. Because if you have a rotation like Martinez, Michaelis, Flaherty, Corbin, and then, you know, Waka, Hudson, Alex Reyes, whoever fills in at this spot, you're putting your bullpen in such a favorable position, I think, on a daily basis throughout the season, and adding that left-handed element to the rotation. That's where I would want to prioritize my money if I'm spending on pitching. So I could see a scenario where you go, and Corbin is one of the premium starters out there. So I understand you say, look, the Cardinals have plenty of pitching depth. There's no reason in the starting rotation. There's no reason to go spend significant money on a guy like that. But because he's left-handed, and because he I think is the real deal, and can be a middle of the rotation guy at worst, and maybe a two or even better at best. You go add that to a group that you already feel is pretty strong, but you know is going to have some attrition throughout the season. And then you can maybe make a trade for a guy like Will Smith, because you've got assets that you could use in that way. You spend the money on a starter, you trade for a reliever. I could really see that panning out and putting the Cardinals in a good position to win. Now, there are going to be guys in the free agent pool that you like, but for me, that's the way I would go.
Well, okay. If we're going to go all the way, no doubt. If you give me Patrick Corbin and then trade whoever for, you know, if you want to trade some of your young pitching for an Archie Bradley and a Will Smith or something like that, you know, if you want a couple of guys that are as a hard pill to swallow, I can do that, because I think Patrick Corbin's the real deal. My problem is, you know, I think Patrick Corbin's the real deal is the Yankees, and they have a real need there, and they have money, and, you know, they like left-handed pitchers for Yankee Stadium.
Let me put it this way. We love Bryce Harper. We think it's the Cardinals' duty to go get Bryce Harper, to go make a real run at Bryce Harper. Let's say it doesn't happen, because we've talked it, neither of us expect it. And then maybe you do fall back on a Josh Donaldson at third base, and you get him for, like you mentioned, maybe a 3 years and $70 million or something that doesn't just make you go light your hair on fire, because it's not, you know, overwhelming. It's not a nine-figure contract.
Well, it's only 3 years, too. You know, that's the
thing. Right. And so say you do that, and I know Cardinal fans are saying, oh, we came in second place on Harper. We want to get the guy. We both talked about last week why we think Josh Donaldson could be pretty interesting. So if you go and do that, and then you say, yeah, the Yankees want Patrick Corbin, but so do we, and let's go make that our big, huge signing of the offseason. You get Donaldson, you get Corbin, and you trade for Will Smith, and that's your offseason. Are the Cardinals not in a really good position next year? Because I think they would be.
I would agree with you. I would ask you this question. If the St. Louis Cardinals are not prepared to give a 10-year big-money contract to outbid anybody, now, maybe they lose out because he doesn't want to come here. I mean, now we're getting into semantics, so I get that.
But you're talking about it could be $350 million.
Yeah, I agree.
Corbin's not going to cost you that.
No, I know that. But where I'm going with this is, so whatever money the Yankees would be willing to pay Patrick Corbin to come there, and let's face it, it's going to be a five-year deal probably for Patrick Corbin.
At least.
Okay,
yeah.
So, I mean, we're talking about a 30-year-old pitcher. You're talking about a fan base that was unhappy the last couple of years with Adam Wainwright and his contract, and look at everything he had done for this franchise. Are you, and I'm not saying you're right or wrong, I'm just asking the question, are you okay with a five-year contract for a 30-year-old pitcher? With that kind of money, because he's going to get $20 million
a year.
Yeah,
what are we talking about average annual? Because, you know, we can only speculate. Last year at this time, we thought Lance Lynn was getting $100 million. That didn't happen either. So I'm not saying they're the same guy, but just if you want to throw out a number for average annual that you guys stick.
I have a hard time believing he won't get $500,000.
Okay, I would do it.
Okay, and that's okay too. Yeah,
I think I would.
Okay, yeah.
If you go $500,000 for him, $370,000 for Donaldson, trade for Will Smith. I prefer Harper to that scenario. I can live with that scenario, though, because it shows me that the Cardinals recognized the needs that they had and they were aggressive in pursuing them.
If they did all that and didn't get one of the big two that I want, yeah, I would have no complaints. So, once again, you and I are agreeing. This is something else. So, Good stuff, my man. Appreciate having you on every week. Next week, we're going to look at realistic trade targets. You and Mo's kind of jumped the gun on that with maybe not wanting, you know, looking at, oh, no, not really. You went the other route. So realistic trade targets. So if there's somebody out there that you think the Cardinals could go get that could help them from a trade standpoint, we're going to look at that. I'll ask you to do a little research there and come back with some interesting trade proposals. So sounds good.
Yeah, man. Hey, I look forward to talking with you about Mike Trout next week.
Listen, again, we're on the same page. I mean, why wouldn't you trade for Mike Trout? I mean, come on.
I hear that guy is pretty good.
Dexter Fowler and Cecil for Mike Trout. Hey, we'll even eat some of their contracts, right?
For sure.
All right, my man. Hey, tell our listeners where they can follow you.
Hey, you can find me on Twitter at BSchaefer12. I'm going to start doing some more just solo podcasts myself, a little 20, 30-minute bursts, just kind of talking about the news of the day as often as I can. So you'll find those on Twitter this offseason, and you can always find my work at KMOB.com.
Well, you're awesome. Appreciate it, my man, and I love chatting with you every week. Take care.
Thanks, brother.
All right, that's Brendan Schaefer, batting third. I've got no doubt a lot of different opinions today for you guys to cipher through. The conversation didn't go anywhere near like I thought it was going to go. I thought we were going to start breaking down all these different relief pitchers and who made sense. But, you know, it just goes to show you that I find it interesting that if we're looking at the relief market being so iffy, I wonder how major league teams look at it. So this should make for an interesting offseason, because if you really look at it, where's that going to come from, those relievers that we need? I'm not saying I agree with everything all three guys said. I'm saying I could be convinced to look at it differently, and I'm enjoying this aspect of it because it does make me change my opinion a little bit. I'm not going to change the opinion of I still want a guy that's done it at the back end. I still think that's a real thing. I know some people don't. If the Cardinals had been coming off a lot of success and you said, you know what, we're aging a little bit, we got a young guy ready to go, we're going to give him an opportunity in the ninth, I could live with that. But when you haven't made the playoffs for 3 years, I don't know that I can live with that. So we'll see what happens. All interesting ideas, and I think all worthy of taking the time to hear them. So always excited about it. And next week, as I mentioned, we'll be looking at realistic trade targets for the St. Louis Cardinals. I want to thank everybody for joining us, especially our contributors, Kyle Reese, Mo's Algorithm, and, of course, Brendan Schaefer. They told you where you can follow them. We want to thank our partners for making the show possible every week. Couldn't do the show without my friend Randy Green, InnovativeCompanies.com, home of the four companies under one umbrella, the construction team, heating and cooling team, the electric team, and, of course, the new plumbing team ready to roll. That's InnovativeCompanies.com. He's a second-generation craftsman and, more importantly, a man of his word. Residential, commercial, industrial, doesn't matter. InnovativeCompanies.com has you covered. To our friends over at Adam Smokehouse, don't forget to get over to Watson Road. Try some barbecue. Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, open till 7. Now delivering, so you'll want to give them a call and find out if you're in that range of delivery. Also available for all the catering that you might need. All events available to be catered. Everybody's loving their barbecue. Everybody's loving the atmosphere when you get over there. They're loving the map for the people that come in from all over and try their barbecue. Again, it's tremendous. Mike's a great dude that does a great job, and you guys are going to love it. That's Adam Smokehouse on Watson Road. To the Missouri Gators, Illinois Gators, and obviously GatorsBaseballAcademy.com, we want to say thank you for their continued support. You'll be impressed with their four-pillar system, as if there's one thing that's important to them, it's the people that they put in front of your kids. It should be. It should be one of the main things that you concern yourself with when it comes to the development within the game of baseball, both on the field and off, and that's GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. To all of our partners out there, we want to say thank you. We are TwoBirdsOnABat.com. You can subscribe to the show there. You can find us on Twitter, at Birds on a Bat Show. Hit us up on Facebook, type in Two Birds on a Bat, like our page, follow us, click invite your friends and invite them in. But more importantly, on Mondays, Thursdays, and Fridays, the show's out by 5 o'clock. Make sure you like it, comment on it, and most importantly, you have to share it. Some people are forgetting to share the episode, and they're not getting registered for these wonderful prizes that we have. So, again, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, like the post, comment on the post, and then share the post, and you guys are eligible for the autographed memorabilia that we're giving away. Find us on Instagram, Two Birds on a Bat Show. To all the Facebook groups out there that allow us to be a part of their group, RallySquirrel.com, the original backer that we have, Chris Lawless, his group over there, Cardinals Nation, Cardinals 24/7 with Ron, Gino, Crash, the gang. They just keep upping the game over there at Cardinals Nation and Cardinals 24/7. Great stuff as always. Arch City Media with Mick Light, thank you for your support as well. Couldn't do it without you. The Cardinal Freak, our two newest groups that have really jumped on and taken us in and have gotten involved in the show, and that's thanks to our friends Vicky and Linda that take care of fans of Yachty or Molina, which is an obvious great group for us with our relationship with the Molina family. And, of course, I am a Cardinal fan. Yes, I am. Both great groups, both great people involved in the group. But there's so many more, too. STL Cardinals, St. Louis Cardinals crew, we love you guys as well. Get a lot of feedback from that group. St. Louis Cardinals Nation, St. Louis Baseball Cardinals, Cardinals fans versus Cardinals haters, Cardinals country, baseball heaven. Great stuff, guys. There's that are out there. If you want to get involved in the conversations, I say do a little research and you've got them. For all of us here at lineupmedia.fm, we ask you to go check out Yo Radio. Download it on your mobile device. The new version's out. It's sleek. It's handy. New stations coming online every week, and you guys are going to love it. That's Yo Radio in the mobile app store. You guys are going to love it. For all of us here at Two Birds on a Bat and Bow Ties and Bullshit, let's go Birds!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.